Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Somebody told me that the Hiboat was going to turn into the Maboat today.
What is that?
The hatinest brother of all time was going to be the most unbearable brother of all time.
Wow. Really,
so
me?
That's what somebody tweeted me, so I don't know. But he did win fair and square. We bet a pair of Jordan sneakers, not Team Jordan, but Jordan sneakers that you had to get it from the store, so you couldn't get some $700 ones retro, right? And he bet the Nationals. I bet the Astros, and he won fair and square. So, in honor of Rob Parker, I'm not just gonna give you the $200.
What are you
gonna
do?
I'm gonna do it your way.
Oh, wait a minute!
I'm gonna make it rain, baby.
$20.
When I make it rain, I rain 20s, not ones.
If I was throwing this out,
20s.
If I was throwing this out at the club, not only could they go to school, they could get their masters if you throw it out 20s.
Yes, big daddy.
Yes, sir.
There you go. $200. Should we show? Let's show. Show the.
So that was the money.
Jordans. You went to the store. You got the pair you wanted. And I just paid you the $200, and I got me. You got some dope ones.
They are
Jordan, so of course they're going to be dope.
These are the 12s, the Jordan 12s, retros.
Black on black.
These are sweet.
Those are nice.
Very, very nice. Chris Broussard pays off his bet.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very, very happy. And you know what? It looked like for a minute I was going to win the bet. Then it looked like you were going to win the bet. And I'm sure with when they were up 2-0 in the seventh inning, and Zach Greinke was rolling, you thought, man, I'm getting a pair of Jordans, and boy, did it turn around. But you're right, Chris, and thanks. What a great World Series that was.
All right, Rod, look, I'm going to tell you, I'm sending the bill. Let me get that receipt, because I'm sending it to A.J. Hinch.
Are you?
The Houston Astros manager who yanked Zach Greinke in the seventh inning. After Greinke had been sensational. Maybe that's a little overstatement, but he had been very, very good.
No, he was good, Chris.
He gave up two hits in 6 1/3 innings and one earned run. One earned run. So I get it. He gave up the home run and he gave up a walk. So you thought it was getting away from him. So you took him out. And again, understandable. I wish you would have left him in. But if you didn't, I would have gone to Gerrit Cole. Why go to Harris? Harris gets in there in the second pitch. He gives up a two-run homer, and that was it. I mean, added some runs, but that was a game-winning home run.
And a lot of people blamed A.J. Hinch for what people are saying. Go with your gut. Do you remember the other day in Game 6? They let Strasburg pitch into the ninth.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
He was rolling.
Yes.
Why are you going to the bullpen if you don't have to? And Greinke gave up one bad pitch. All right. It wasn't like he walked two guys and gave up a double and a single, and then you go, he's lost it. Anybody get a home run in this man's baseball, right? On a bad,
right.
You give up a bad pitch, bad location. So I'm with you. I just wonder why you go away, and then you're right. Gerrit Cole's pitched pretty well in this postseason.
Very well.
And he was hurt that they warmed him up and never used him. He was warm. He was ready to go. Why warm a guy up if you're not going to pitch him?
And Hinch's rationale after the game was, I was only going to go to Gerrit if we were going to win the World Series. I think he said if they were tied or up one or up a run. What? I don't get that.
I don't either.
I don't and they were up. They were up one. They
right.
were up, 2-1 at that point. And so
right, that cut the lead in half, but it was 2-1. The
right.
game wasn't over.
I mean, look, I get it. Any of these moves, I mean, if Harris doesn't give up the homer, if he pitches well, we're praising Hinch. You know, so I understand. If he leaves Greinke in and the guy, Kendricks hits the home run off Greinke, we may be saying, oh, you know,
you
he gave
him
the home run. Yeah, you should have seen. He should have been on the short leash. He hadn't gone more than five innings in the postseason or at least recently. So I get that we're in the business of second-guessing these guys. But the one thing I do think is clear is you should have went to Cole. You should have went to Cole if you were going to take Greinke out. And so now the Houston Astros, as we who was it yesterday? John Morosi was saying, if they don't win this, what do they have to show for this decade?
Right.
One World Series.
Which is not that special considering the team that they have assembled. And, Chris, you know this, because when they got – the Zach Greinke in the trade, everybody said, oh, it's over. They just added a third Cy Young Award winner. It's over.
Yep.
You can't beat the Astros on paper. They were the best team.
No doubt.
And it didn't happen.
No doubt. So there it is. Great World Series. Props to the Nationals.
That's a great story. It's a great story for the Nationals. When you think they were 19-31, Chris, where they were, they lost their big star. Their season could have gone to hell in a handbasket right then and there.
Yep.
They could have collapsed. Davey Martinez, their manager, could have been fired. It was all set up. And the other part that I love, and you could debate a little bit on who should have been the MVP, but I think Strasburg was the right pick. He won two World Series games, including. They're down. Remember, they lost three straight at home. He comes back to Houston and wins the big game six and pitches into the night. That propelled them to set them up to be able to win the World Series.
Yeah, look, I'm a big fan of Strasburg. When he came into the league, I thought he would become one of the all-time greats. And, you know, he's still, 31. If he can stay healthy, he could forge a Hall of Fame career. So I'm happy for him. If it were my vote, Rob, and I don't have a problem with him winning.
I know you're saying, who would you pick?
I would have given it to Soto.
Soto was unbelievable.
I think he had three homers in the series, seven RBI.
Youngest player, right? I think they have
20,
three.
20, yeah. And had a big hit yesterday. You know, they were up 3-2 by that point. But
still, that's insurance.
He added insurance
at that time.
Runs. I mean, every time I looked up, he was doing something special. So I would have gone with Soto, but I have certainly no problem with Strasburg getting it. And for me, on the free agent market, it looks like Gerrit Cole's clearly out of there.
Well, he was already saying stuff like,
I'm no longer an employee of the team. Like, come on. I mean,
dude, the game was just over. You just, what?
Don't even make him an offer. I mean,
I didn't like that.
I didn't either. You don't have to go out like that.
You have to go out like that.
You just went to the World Series.
I'm an independent contractor. I don't represent the Astros. What?
I don't.
Was
like
he mad
that
they didn't offer him a deal before the year? Is that what it is?
Because maybe he was mad that they didn't pitch him.
That sounded too cold.
And then he had the Boris cap on instead of the Astros. I agree. Like, even for your teammates, we get it as a business. That was not a good look.
We just fought a seven game series that could have gone either way, and you're that cold and distant, like 5 minutes after the game?
That's
where your head was?
I ain't like that.
You could have
like
cried
that.
With your guys being down. You know what I mean, Chris? Console the guys. And then tomorrow when after you wash it all off and think about it, you go, you know, I'm probably done there. But that response did surprise me.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're a GM for another team, would you look at that? No, he's great.
You would look at him, but it does.
No, I mean,
it
but
tells you about their character.
That, okay.
It tells you a little bit about the character there.
I think I would rather have Strasburg. Now, I take Cole. If I'm the Dodgers, I'm offering Cole 6 years max highest I go.
But if
I'd
you add
five.
Him to the top of your rotation, you're
they should
right
go
with Bueller.
Right. Bueller, right. And you still got Kershaw be your number three,
right.
Maybe. So, no, if I'm the Dodgers, I'm trying to get him, but I'm not going above 6 years.
So here's the other thing, and maybe we could toss this out too. Just if people want to chime in on this as well, but did the Astros lose or choke? They didn't win a home game. They won 60 games during the regular season. They were unbelievable at home. Did they choke or did the Nationals just take this?
Look, the Nationals, it seems like it was just their year. You talked about the starting off with the horrible record, losing Bryce Harper, but you could have gone further. the way they edged, they came back and beat Milwaukee in the wild card game. The way they came back from 2-1 down
beat the
to the Dodgers. I mean, obviously they walked through the Cardinals, but this series, I mean, they lose three straight at home and, you know,
most
win
people,
it on the road.
Most people would have been buried by
right.
losing three
and
straight.
And they're down in game seven. I mean, so it just seems like it was meant to be for them, so I'll give them that credit. But the Astros left 11 men on base, Rob. It seemed like every inning they had a man on first and second with two outs. Now, they kept putting them on with two outs, but still, they couldn't get the big hit. That lineup is full of professional hitters, and they just couldn't come through. So
one for eight with runners in scoring position. You can't win like that in baseball.
And then, like I said, Hinch's decisions, not going with Cole. I'm gonna lean toward the Astros giving it up.
Wow.
While trying to give credit to
the Nationals,
I'm gonna lean toward
but...
the Astros giving it up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's go to the NBA. Big injury. I mean, a lot going on, obviously, the World Series, but a big injury yesterday. Steph Curry, who a lot of people,
wow.
you know, while people were beginning to think the Warriors were horrible, and they were, and most people thought they weren't going to make the playoffs, virtually everyone was expecting a big season from Steph Curry. And in just the third game of the season, fourth game, he goes down.
He landed awkwardly, yep. right on his wrist, hand.
Yep. Aaron Baines landed on him. He drove to the bucket, tried to throw something up. Aaron Baines lands on his wrist and a broken hand. And out 6 to 8 weeks at least, but could be a few more months. Look, it's sad. You never like to see a player get hurt, especially a superstar, historical player, all-time great. But, Rob, I think this is a blessing in disguise.
Why
for
is
the
that?
Golden State Warriors. Because now, few things. One, D'Angelo Russell is going to put up numbers.
Okay.
Just because who else is going to score?
Nobody.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that dude's going to average 20-something points a game, put up numbers, look fairly good doing it, and that's going to enable you to shop him. That will raise his value on the trade market at least a little bit. So they've got that. Secondly, when they got D'Angelo Russell from the Brooklyn Nets, their part of the trade was that if the Warriors don't make the lottery, their first-round pick goes to the Nets. So now if they've missed the playoffs and make the lottery, they get to keep their pick. And they're looking right now, I mean, heck, with Steph Curry, they were looking like they could battle for that number one pick. Now they may get the number one, number two, number three pick in the draft, which if you keep it, you might get a great player. If you trade it along with D'Angelo Russell, maybe you get a great veteran that can help you try to win championships right away again. So I think it is a blessing. There's no rush to bring Klay back anymore because the season is essentially lost. And I think it's a blessing in disguise for them. Let Klay get fully healthy. Let Steph get fully healthy. And I agree with Klay Thompson when he says their window to win championships is not over. Now, this year, obviously.
I think it's close.
But in the future, really.
I really do.
Because think about it. Now,
you could talk about bringing in somebody and we don't know who it's going to be or whatnot.
You're still going to have Steph, Klay, and Draymond.
Yeah, but Draymond's not the same player. Let's be honest. Would you say that?
I would not. He's not going to score for you, but he can still defend. He can still pass.
I'm not saying he can't play. I'm just saying.
And he's the third wheel, you know, behind Steph and Klay.
I just think when I look at the landscape of what other guys and other duos have, they're all better than them. I don't care who the draft pick is. They're still better than them.
But don't you – look. I mean, let's not act like –
you disagree or not?
I disagree somewhat. Okay. When they're healthy, and here's why. It's not like the Warriors – I'm even going before KD because that wasn't even fair for them to have KD. But when they won in 2015 and in 2016 when they won 73 games and failed to close it out, but still had a chance to win it, most people would say they were the best team in the league. It wasn't like the NBA was down, Rob. It wasn't like, you know, you have those eras where there's really nobody to challenge. You had Westbrook and Durant in OKC. That was a great team. San Antonio was still a good team. They had Kawhi and Aldridge. So it wasn't – and then, of course, Cleveland, you know, with LeBron and Kyrie. So you had great duos then, and now they're going to miss losing Iguodala. But that's what I'm saying. They got to get a few other great role players. But with Steph, Klay, and Draymond, I think next year, depending on, you know, what they put around them, depending on how this draft works out or how some trades work out, I think they'll be able to get themselves back in playoff, in contention. They may not win it, but they could get back
I'm
in contention.
Saying they're not gonna be, I'm not going to say they're not going to be in contention. I'm not saying that. I just think that they had such a magical run, played a lot of games during those five straight years to the championship. Yep. Now you see guys get hurt. They get beat up. They get a little older. All of a sudden, what you took out on opponents for all those 5 years, now it's their chance to beat you up. Do you know what I mean? To play roughshod over you.
That's
what's happening, and that's what I'm saying. And I get it. It's payback, right? You ran the roost. You did everything. We couldn't. You were drubbing us, taking threes, losing by 30, and all that other stuff. And then all of a sudden, things change. It's so hard to keep that going. It just is. And when you even think about the Spurs and their run, it was over 15 years. You know what I mean? So they regrouped. They never won back to back. They didn't go to a championship like that. But it takes a little while. Now, if you're telling me maybe that 3 or 4 years from now, Chris, and somehow they got some dynamic number one player, you know, with the first pick of the draft or something, and then he came along and he's now a veteran guy, and then they make another run or two, maybe I can see that. But with this group the way it is, I think their window's closed.
Wow.
I really do. I didn't pick them to be in the mix. I thought they would be fifth or lower.
Right, you
in
thought
the Western
they'd
Conference.
Make the playoffs.
Right, I did think they'd make the playoffs.
But they've looked so bad that both of us,
not making
I mean, even before Steph got hurt, after game one, I was on Undisputed, and I was like, you know what? They're not making the playoffs. They don't defend, and they don't have enough scores to outscore anybody. And like you said, there's a target on their back.
No
Everybody's
doubt.
Going at them. Now, let me ask you this. All right, you said you think the Warriors' window is closed. What do you think the future holds, you know, next year? We don't even have to talk about him this year. What do you think the future holds for Steph Curry?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to wait to see. This was a good example where we could have seen it with Durant's out of the way, but too much has happened and they have too many young guys. So we weren't going to see that this year. Would you agree with that?
No, he wasn't going to lead them to great heights.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think he was going to average
just
25,
put up his points,
26,
right. But I'm just saying, it was going to be very difficult.
Right. I don't think it was even going to be what we saw before Durant went there. Like those 2 years before KD went there, it was you almost have never seen anything like it.
And it's not like it's automatic. That's like a once in a lifetime. A stretch or blip where everything was going down for him, right? It was unbelievable.
Perfect. That second year when they didn't win it. But during the regular season, he was unbelievable. That's why he was the only unanimous MVP ever. And I don't think he should have been.
Somebody else, right.
He should have been unanimous, but he shouldn't have been the first one to be unanimous.
No way.
But still, he averaged 30 every week. It just seemed like he was doing something we'd never seen before. The distance on his shots, it was incredible. You obviously think he'll return to being an all-star and all that, all-star. But will he – that my question is kind of will he return to being in the conversation as, you know, most impactful player in the league or a top five player and all that?
I'm not sure if he'll ever win another championship either. I'd have to see how the team put together. If you're just telling me with what they have and Steph is now going to lead the way and Klay comes back, I don't see them winning a championship.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, they had a 5-year run where they went to the finals 5 straight years.
Hadn't been done since the Celtics of the 60s, right?
And some runs, like I'm looking right now, the Boston Celtics run with Larry Bird. When they, you know, they won those 3 rings. Most people, I know you don't, but a lot of people talk about the Bird Celtics like it was a dynasty. And they won 3 championships.
And what? How many
years?
And
they went to the finals. I'm not even going to say that. Their 3 championships came in 6 years.
Right.
And you can add on 2 more years where 1 year they went to even if you want to add on 3 more, 2 times to the Eastern Conference Finals and 1 more time to the finals where they lost each time. So that's a 9-year stretch of being in contention. And the Warriors had 5 years, but they went 5 straight. 5 straight. And so sometimes, you know, a run might end quickly. But this was 5 tremendous years for them. And I do think, like I said, they'll bring it back. And again, I think this is a blessing in disguise because they're essentially tanking, but they don't have to tank. They don't have to announce that we're tanking.
No.
They don't have to mess up their culture. They don't have to upset the fans in the new Chase Center by obviously tanking. They're just going to be bad.
And imagine all those people spent big money this year on a brand new breaking in a new building, and they got to watch that. They're going to go and because they want something to do, and they've invested in the team and they paid the money. But boy, you couldn't ask for a worse opening and all the injuries and everything that's going on.
They're comparing. A lot of people are comparing it to. I mean, look, Rob, this jump started the Spurs dynasty. I call it a dynasty. You don't. But this jump started the Tim Duncan era because David Robinson got hurt.
Right.
They were horrible. They end up with the number 1 pick in the draft, and lo and behold, it's Tim Duncan. And the rest is history. There's no Tim Duncan in this draft. You got LaMelo Ball. You got a few. I mean, people are saying this isn't the best draft that we've seen in years. So there may not be that guy, that difference maker for a veteran team. But maybe you package it and you get a veteran who's a perennial all-star. You know, you package it with D'Angelo Russell in the number 1 pick or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of things
that definitely they could do.
But you wouldn't agree it's a blessing in disguise? Because even with Steph, they weren't going anywhere.
No, I agree they weren't going anywhere. I just don't think that you want your star player to be hurt, even though it could benefit the organization. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't think Steph wants a broken left.
No, and you don't wish that on anybody.
Right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. It's time for Shop Talk.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
It is Shop Talk, the Odd Couple of Fox Sports Radio. We do this every single Thursday at 8:45 p.m. Eastern. We take a segment to discuss something outside of the world of sports, and being that it is Halloween, and seeing as we just had Greg Jennings on the show talking about how he's not giving out candy, nobody's going to Greg Jennings' house this year. It's terrible. I advise all the children, go somewhere else.
Next year's going to be even worse.
Nobody wants Play-Doh.
But at least I could play with Play-Doh.
If he were a great red-blooded American and he was giving out real candy, here's the question, gentlemen. Which candy would you hope that Greg Jennings was giving out this Halloween?
Well, when I was a kid, the candy that I loved most to see in my bag.
You still love candy?
Not really.
No?
I don't need a ton of candy.
Okay.
Sweets like cookies and cakes and cupcakes.
And all that.
That's my vice.
Your birthday cupcakes were good.
Yeah, they were. Whew. But anyway, I love to see the marathon bars. Remember those?
Really?
They were really long. I didn't eat them a lot. They were caramel, chocolate, but that's why they were like a treat. You know, what candy I ate most as a kid, I don't know.
Did you eat candy corns when you were a kid?
Yeah, but that was right. That was one of your favorites?
No, as a kid, we used to have them.
Yeah, we used to have them a lot.
I would say the Three Musketeer bar.
Really?
Yeah, it's creamy, it's fluffy, It's soft chocolate,
no
right?
No bones, no structure.
That's okay. For chocolate, I don't want bones or structure on my chocolate. But up the three, you don't like the three
really?
Musketeers?
I liked them. They were all right. I didn't like them as much as many others.
Like
I, there were
Mars
many ahead
and
of them.
Stuff with nuts
Butterfinger
in it. I'm not that.
Was ahead of them.
Did you really?
Heath bar.
You remember the $100,000 bar? That had a lot of nuts in it.
Yeah, that had nuts. I don't know. I'm trying to think. A Marathon bar was really one of my favorites.
Rob G,
I like
what you got?
Well, the correct answer, the only answer is Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Those were
Reese's
good.
Are
those,
great.
Are,
no,
those are great. Those are great. I can't. It's certainly better. I'm shocked at the Three Musketeers.
I like the Three Musketeers. Kit Kat. I'm a Kit Kat guy.
Kit Kats are good. Twix.
That's like
really
a Kit
good.
Kat, right?
Here's the thing, too. Let me throw this out. What age... Because, Rob G., can you share your story?
Your baby story.
As you know, I have a newborn daughter at home.
Now, how many months is she? Oh, she's days old.
She is baby 6 weeks old, and my wife's like, hey, it's her first Halloween. We got to do something special. I want to take her trick-or-treating.
What?
I'm sorry.
She's 6 weeks old.
She's already putting on Twitter, hashtag first Halloween, all excited.
I hope you put your foot down.
And I was like, why are you going to take her? You could be wheeling her up down the street. Trick-or-treating her, and she can't eat anything right now.
But you know what?
She won't remember
and
this.
No. And when you take her, all they're going to put in her bag are Pampers.
Right. I wouldn't mind that because we go through them like
right,
like
I know that.
Cakes.
You'd love some Pampers.
So
bring a box of Pampers right. when you come.
So rather than go and take her trick-or-treating, what my wife's doing instead is she's giving out candy at home. But she decided to invite her family over and spend our money to get them all pizza and wings and things like that. So I lose either way. I don't
That's
get the
candy. That's a Halloween party?
I don't get the candy with
candy
my daughter.
Candy would have been cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now they're giving out candy and getting themselves food.
USC, Chris, what about you? What kind of candy?
Oh, man. You had me with Three Musketeers. That was kind of my big one growing up. I'm trying to think. I liked a lot of kind of the fruit snack, not fruit snacks, but like fruit gummies.
Growing up, you know what? Gummy bears
no.
and all that. Dots.
Nerds was actually my favorite,
nerds.
Now that I'm thinking
nerds.
About it. I love a little box
you,
of nerds.
Juju beans.
Nerds, mate. What's that's that? The perfect,
oh, that's perfect
for you.
Gascon, are you there? Gascon busy?
Oh, I'm here, of course.
What
I'm
do you got?
I'm Kit Kat, Reese's Pieces.
Kit Kat, yeah.
Reese's 7 Pieces. Grand, yeah.
What are Reese's
Marathon,
Pieces?
Nobody else was high on the Marathon bars? Those are delicious.
What's I don't think I've ever had a Marathon
it
bar.
It was chocolate caramel, and it was really long. That's why they called it Marathon, because it was
do
like
you remember
long.
Charleston Chew? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was
I
another
a huge
one.
Fan.
No, I didn't like it either.
How old are you guys? What kind of candies are you talking
You've
about?
Never heard of the Charleston
no.
Chew?
Oh, I've heard of Charleston Chew.
Abba Zabba.
Charleston Chew. Charleston Chew. What's too old, though, to go? I think my last trick-or-treat, I was 11, I think.
I think I stopped when
you
I was 21.
You can't go as a team. You can't go as a team.
No, I'm right. By the time you get to 12, I think
yeah, 11
go.
Or 12. Rob G.
Rob
sounds,
G. He went 15
silent,
or 16.
Right. Look, he clearly was going at an older
before
age.
We got this show, I was available in the evening times, and since I'm vertically challenged, I could blend in with the children.
Oh, look at that.
You could.
I could get all
I
the candy.
I can see you putting a bag up there, just putting a bag and hiding behind
yep.
some kids.
I let another kid say trick or treat, and I just stick my hand out with the bag, and yeah. they don't got
to
see me.
They just think you're trying to go as Wolfman Jack or
no,
or
just wear a little
like
mask.
That.
It's ghetto. Don't worry about it.
Ooh, look at he's being a little fat DJ, Wolfman Jack.
They don't know anything about Wolfman Jack. How you throwing
really,
that out?
I'm really aging.
Now you dating yourself.
They didn't laugh. Have you ever heard of Wolfman Jack?
No, they don't know who
no.
he is.
Rob G, you never even heard of Wolfman
no.
Jack?
He was
wow.
one of the biggest
Chris,
radio
I
DJs.
I think you forget how old
70s.
You are. I know you feel young,
I
but
do.
You up there.
I feel very young. That's how you end up being an old man in the club, though. You think you're still
young. Still
young,
right.
Are you ever the old man? In
nah.
The, you are.
I'm not.
Well, the clubs you go to is full of old men, right?
Right, because we got to pay.
All right, well, let's hope that, look, Aria will have plenty of nights to go trick-or-treating, Rob G.
And when she
I think
does, we ain't going to Greg Yenny's
house. 4 or 5 years old.
I'm glad
four
you I'm glad you
old.
Shut that's it down the, and told the wife
right.
it ain't happening.
And we're not going to Greg Yenny's house.
That's no, right. no. Play-Doh, golly. Like I said, though, that's better than a toothbrush. There's nothing worse than a toothbrush on Halloween.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He is one of the best writers in baseball, MLB on Fox analyst, and also for The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal joins The Odd Couple. Ken,
yo,
welcome. How you doing?
How you doing, guys? What's going on?
Man, great, Ken, great. What a great World Series that was, wasn't it?
You know, Rob, it was good at the end. it wasn't so good for the first five games.
Right.
In terms of just, the
games weren't close. Right, right.
The games weren't close. Right. It wasn't that compelling. The last two games, they were quite compelling, and that was really cool.
Gerrit Cole, do you think last night his reaction after the game,
that was
no
weird.
Longer an employee of the team, he had on the Scott Boras cap, was some of that being upset that he was not put in the game? And, how much did that come to play? And do you think Hintz should have gone ahead and put him in when he took out Greinke?
Good question. I don't think he did that because he was upset about not being in the game. It seemed to me that he felt he was in an awkward position because knowing in 24 hours he would technically be a free agent and he would not be technically an employee of the team. Now, he could have kept the cap on for one more night. It wouldn't have killed him.
I didn't really understand why he did that.
He's out of there, right?
I mean, was it known that he was definitely not coming back to the Astros? Because that's kind of what he said last night, it seemed.
It's not known, but it is known that it would be difficult for them to retain him simply because of the salaries that they already have on the books and the salary he's going to command. So it's been generally assumed that he's not going back there. So that's not in question. Scott Boras clients have a loyalty to Scott Boras, much more so than other players with other agencies. I don't know that you've ever seen a baseball player wear his agency's cap other than maybe a Scott Boras Corporation client. So that was part of it. Now, was he upset about not being put in the game? I don't think so. Should he have been put in the game? Another good question. The way they structured it, the way they had it planned out, he was going to be in the game if they had the lead. The game turned in the seventh inning, and it turned quickly. If you remember, Greinke gave up the home run, and then it was 2-1. Then he walks the next batter. They take him out of the game. Will Harris comes in. Boom, home run by Howie Kendrick, 2-run homer. Now the Astros are losing, and the plan was only to use Cole with a lead. Now you can question whether they should have used him playing from behind. It's a fair question, but keep in mind he had never pitched in relief, had never pitched on short rest. There was no guarantee he was going to be any better than Roberto Osuna proved to be. So it's an interesting question to look back on, and it's one of the things that we'll talk about with this series. Should he have been in the game? But I didn't have a problem with that as much at the time as going with Will Harris over Osuna. And even that move, as it turned out, Osuna wasn't much better. So,
right.
You know what it seems to me, guys? It seems to me the Washington Nationals were going to win that game no matter what
that
the Astros
is true.
Did.
That much is
and
true.
And that's just the way baseball works sometimes.
Did you have a problem with Strasburg getting the MVP? I didn't, but there were other people who thought maybe
Soto
or Rendon, right, could have won as well. And those guys are everyday players. Where were you on the MVP?
Sure. I didn't actually give it that much thought, but I had no problem with it. And Strasburg won two games in the series. And
a big game six that they needed, right?
Yes, and keep in mind also the Nationals were 10-0 in the postseason in games started by Strasburg and Scherzer. So if you want value, that's value. Now, Rendon was good at the end. Soto certainly had his moments, but I had no problem with Strasburg getting it.
Now, you recently wrote an article in The Athletic about Max Scherzer. Kind of tell us about that, and obviously, I mean, this is just the crowning achievement of a great career.
Right. I actually wrote him back-to-back days, which is not something you guys know is something you generally do.
Right. You don't do that. Right.
It just worked out that way. And last night, it was interesting to me. He talked about a conversation he had with his wife the day he found out, or the day he had that incredible pain and couldn't lift his arm above his shoulder. And his wife basically said, listen, this was before game five. Not going to pitch game five. Strass will pitch game six. He's going to win game six. And then you're going to pitch game seven. And for whatever reason, sometimes a loved one's comments can really strike you the right way. And those were the words he needed to hear.
Wow.
And he kind of took it from there. He had that belief at that point. She said that she did believe what she said at the time, but at the same time, she knew how hurt he was, and she was positive he was going to be able to come back. And it's just kind of a cool achievement for him. He is the closest thing to an NFL tough guy that there is in baseball. He plays hurt, and he's tough. He'll do anything to win. And he had not won a World Series in his career. So for him, this was the crowning achievement. He's a three-time Cy Young Award winner. He's a guy with a $210 million contract. But I spoke to his father, too, for the article, and his father said this is what he wanted. This is what always drove him. And he's just a cool guy. They've had, you know what? They have a lot of guys that are really great stories. Kendrick, amazing story.
What a great story. Oh,
guy's hit his whole career. He's just a classic professional. Rendon, brilliant player. We saw him all, you know, the whole postseason doing amazing things. And Soto, this prodigy, who is just going to be someone we're going to have our eyes on for a long time.
Ken Rosenthal.
And I can go on. There's other guys, too.
Right. Ken Rosenthal, MLB on Fox analyst, also writes for The Athletic, joining The Odd Couple.
Hey, Ken, one little side note. If you're a Detroit Tiger fan when you woke up this morning, you had to be sick because that rotation that they had back in 2004, you ready? All the guys in that rotation all won a World Series, none with Detroit. And we're talking about Price, Scherzer, Verlander, Porcello, Anibal Sanchez, and who am I? That's it, right?
Right, you're talking about the teams from 2010 to 14 in that range.
Right.
They weren't all together at
right,
once.
But
you're right. And one of the great moments last night, guys, I was on the field when it happened. Scherzer and Sanchez, who, of course, were teammates on the 2012 Tigers team that went to the World Series but lost in four games to the Giants.
Right.
They had just this emotional embrace, and Scherzer was crying his eyes out. Sanchez was really emotional, too, and Sanchez was telling him, we finally got one. We finally got one. And you're right. The Tigers had amazing teams, but in the baseball playoffs, the amazing teams don't always win. The Houston Astros were an amazing team. They won 107 games in the regular season. They beat a great Rays team. Great. Not good. Great Rays team. And a great Yankees team to get there. And then they ran into this club that, for whatever reason, just could do no wrong.
Ken, why do you think, I mean, it's first series in history. I mean, any sport, football, basketball, baseball, where the road team won every single game.
Crazy.
What are people around the league saying about this?
It's kind of inconceivable, isn't it? And Chris,
oh,
you covered
very.
The NBA for years. Rob, you covered everything. You don't see this. It's just it's something you couldn't even imagine because it just seems impossible. But it happened. I think it was fluky. It just was one of these things. Maybe there's something to the idea of playing with less pressure on the road, but I don't even buy that. It just kind of broke that way. And for whatever reason, now, keep in mind, Strasburg pitched both games on the road. He did not pitch at home. Scherzer pitched both games on the road, did not pitch at home. So that is part of it. But in general, the Astros were an amazing home team. They were 60-21 at home, best in the majors during the regular season. Then they were, I believe, going into the World Series 4-1 at home. A really good record, whatever it was. And yet, they couldn't get it done. It was crazy. And they've got a great crowd there. It's unbelievably loud in that building. And yet, they just could not handle the Nationals when they had to.
Ken, we mentioned Cole as a free agent and obviously Strasburg as well. Who are the front runners for those two guys, you feel?
Too early to tell. Unfortunately, baseball free agency is not like the NBA where you know what's coming and it happens fast.
Right.
This will take place over the next 4 to 5 months. I'm not kidding either. It will not be resolved quickly. I think the Angels definitely want Cole and their team where he would fit naturally. But Cole might prefer the National League. He might prefer to go to the Dodgers if they are interested.
What about the Padres too? Are they like?
Sure. The Padres. For Strasburg, because he's a hometown kid, I could see that. Now, he's got to opt out of his contract for this to happen. And I'm not sure he's going to opt out if he does with the intention of exploring the open market. He might simply want more years from Washington.
And they'll pay him.
He's comfortable there. He's a creature of habit. And that might be the way he wants to go. And then don't forget Rendon either, guys.
Oh, yeah.
He's a free agent, too.
Well,
and they're all represented by the guy with the cap.
Right. Well, will the Nationals, I mean, pay these guys to bring back the crew? Or do you think this will make them say, hey, we got our World Series and let's save a little money?
I don't know the answer for sure, but they've made Rendon a great offer. Not enough, but they made him a $200 million plus offer already. Strasburg, I'm sure they would want to keep. He's their guy. They drafted and developed him. Lived with his difficulties and injuries and now are reaping the benefits of him being healthy and really just an accomplished, mature major league pitcher. So I don't expect they're going to go cheap. They made a lot of money, as teams do when they win the whole thing, and they'll make a lot more. So they may not be able to keep them, but it won't be because they're not interested or not interested in paying them.
Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, MLB on Fox. Keep up the great work, man. Great season.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rob.